gathered here today for the auspicious graduation ceremony of the Bhaktivedanta College of Education and Culture. And we are especially here today to honor and appreciate the time, the energy, and the sacrifice that several devotees have put in to deeply study Prabhupada's books. And amongst the graduates today, there's also graduates who will be receiving the Bhakti Shastri degree. And they'll be receiving one Bhakti Shastri degree from the Bhaktivedanta College of Education and Culture, and later on they'll be receiving the same degree from our ISKCON Board of Examinations, which is connected to the GBC body or governing body commission. So also I'd like to request Ajay Chaitanya Prabhu to also get some of the graduates to also speak some words of their experience, you know, maybe one lady and one man, of the experience in studying Srila Prabhupada's books. So before we begin to award the certificates, we shall read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Does everyone know English? Everyone English? Okay. So you may repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We will also leave some time for questions, and it'll be nice if some of you have some questions to clear your doubts after the talk, and then we can go on with the graduation. So we in Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. We at text number 17 for today. And the text in Sanskrit is as follows. Pitaham asya jagato mata data pitamaha vedyam pavitram omkara rikshama yajur evacha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Krishna says here, I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama, and the Yajur Vedas. Purport. The entire cosmic manifestations, moving and non-moving, are manifested by different activities of Krishna's energy. In the material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. Under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually they are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc. are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word Datta means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcels of Krishna, but the creator, grandfather, grandmother and grandfather, etc., are also Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. All the Vedas therefore aim only towards Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a progressive step towards understanding Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional position is especially Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna, and as such is also a Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called Pranava, is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig and Atharva, the Pranava or Omkara is very prominent, it is to be understood to be Krishna. Nice purport. Every line ends with Krishna, 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 Krishna. Om Jnana Atimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tadubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When Srila Prabhupada was first in 26 Second Avenue, which is our first small storefront, humble beginning temple of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And from that humble beginning, so much has expanded since till today, and so much more will be expanding in the thousands of years to come. So one schoolgirl with her school dress uniform, she approached Srila Prabhupada. She was probably 14 or 15 years of age, like that. So she approached Srila Prabhupada and she said, this is in the mid to late 60s, and she said that, Swamiji, I want to live with you. Now, Srila Prabhupada is a sannyasi, and a girl in a blooming youth wants to live with a sannyasi. Like that. So, Srila Prabhupada, from the cultural point of view, he asked her a simple question. Where is your mother and father? So when Srila Prabhupada asked her the question, she looked at Srila Prabhupada in a very puzzled way. Puzzling means, why you ask? asking me such a question? Because it is natural for a sannyasi in a cultured society, when he sees a young girl and a young girl sort of requests, "I want to live with you," it's natural to ask, you know, "Where is your mother and father?" Because your mother and father is meant to protect you, care for you, offer affection to you. So therefore Prabhupada naturally asked the question like that. Then Prabhupada looked at her face and he saw that she was quite puzzled. "Why are you asking me such a question?" Then Srila Prabhupada came to that realization. "Okay, you do not know where your mother is and you do not know where your father is. And possibly you may know who your mother is, but you do not know who your father is at all from birth." This is the society that was at that time. "And possibly she is in a boarding school. You know, she's been dumped there in a way like that." So Prabhupada said, "Okay, do not worry. I will be your mother and I will be your father." And he began what is called in ISKCON the Brahmacharini Ashram, where he allowed young girls to also live in temples, which was not the culture of India. Like that. See? So here, Pitaham Asya Jagato, that means Krishna is saying, "I am the father of the universe," like that. And Mata Data Pitamaha, and "I am the mother," Mata Data Pitamaha, "and I am the support, and I am also the grandsire, all the generations," like that. And Vedyan Pavitram Omkara. So Vedyan Pavitram Omkara indicates that Vedyam Pavitram, you can become purified by knowing that I am the source of all knowledge, and by all the knowledge I am to be known. Like that. Like Sarvas Sachaham Ridhai Sannivishto Mattasmiti Jnanam Apahonam Cha Vedaisha Sarvai Aham Eva Vedya Vedantakrit Veda Ved Eva Chaham. By all the learning, by all the knowledge, by all the experience, by all your influence, by all your wealth, by all your possessions, by all your attachments, still I am to be known. Vedantavit Vedakrit Eva Chaham Eva Chaham. Aham means me. Krishna says, "I am to be known," like that. And Riksha Mayajur Eva Cha, which indicates that I am also all the four Vedas. I am also all the four Vedas. In fact, if one studies the Vedas and one studies everything and doesn't come to the point of Krishna, then it is Shrama E Eva Kevalam. It is completely a useless effort and endeavor for nothing. For nothing. So this particular example of this young girl, you know, nobody comes up to anybody and tells them, "I want to live with you." You must be wanting something that you feel that is there that others do not have, so therefore you'll tell somebody like that. And she was feeling later on, she was explaining that she was feeling that this old man, I can live with him because I know I can be safe. This word safety is there, safe, like that. I can live with him because I'll feel secure. I can live with him because I'll feel protected. Like that. So therefore I offered. Like that. And I also know that by him accepting, he will actually make me feel safe, care for me and protect me and make me feel secure. Like that. But then later on Srila Prabhupada revealed to that particular girl and also in general to all of us that if we can find such refuge and protection and care from such a personality, how come that personality is imbued with that consciousness to offer that? Like that. So later on, the disciples came to know it is because of that greatest of personalities, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is what is called Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Satma. That means that when we receive the shelter of the lotus feet of great personalities, it is synonymous of being under the shelter of Krishna, because that is how they are sheltered themselves. Like that. Only one who is sheltered can offer shelter. So Srila Prabhupada was that great personality who was always feeling sheltered by the disciplic succession and also is under the lotus feet of Krishna, always sheltered. So therefore people can find shelter in such a person. So therefore the spiritual master is everything, because he is the representative of that personality who is speaking this verse. A spiritual master can be mother, can be father, can be the support, can be the grandsire, and can reveal to you the imports of Vedic knowledge, where Krishna is the ultimate of all Vedic knowledge. I can reveal to you through the Vedas by purification process through mantras, and especially for us in our disciplic succession, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can leave more time for questions and comments. Anyone? Yes. A name is, I believe, when I heard the pastime, Saradiya Devidasi. She is one of the early young devotees who joined. Now there are others joined who are already married to other devotees, but the first like single person, right? Young also. I think her name is Saradiya. This was told to me by Mother Rukmini. She also joined when she was very young, 15, 16 maybe. Very senior disciple of Prabhupada. So you have questions. We'll take questions. Yeah? Come on, anyone has questions? It's nice to ask questions. Questions enlivens a brahmana and enlivens a sannyasi. Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Can't hear. You have another microphone? You have another microphone here. What's your name? Mother? Devika. Nice. Yes. Okay, she's saying very often we have a chance to explain about Bhagavad Gita to people. question is she allowed to explain Bhagavad Gita to people? About the text and the chapter we just mentioned. Yes. So let me ask you a question to answer your question. Is that all right? Yes. So, did somebody tell you you're not allowed to read the Bhagavad Gita and explain it to others? Did somebody tell you that? Oh, this chapter is the most... Yes, it should be explained by Guru, the most confidential knowledge. Okay, now your question is more clear. Thank you. You can sit. Yes, wonderful question. Yes. This chapter is called the most confidential knowledge, simply because the entire Bhagavad Gita is confidential in and of itself, right from chapter 1 to chapter 18. It's Guhyottamam. Like sometimes it's the verses Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. Guhyam means it is secretive. You know, secretive means I am telling you this, don't tell anyone else, but you're going to tell somebody else. You understand? That's how secretive it is. That I'm telling you this, don't tell somebody else, but you are going to tell somebody else in a secretive way. Are you catching it? You catching my explanation? See? Like if I come to Giridhari Prabhu and I tell him something secretive and I tell him don't tell somebody else, he's very well, by telling don't tell somebody else, he's going to tell somebody else. But if I tell him something confidential and don't say the words don't tell somebody else, it will be kept confidential. The nature of confidentiality means that when you say something to somebody, you don't have to tell them, don't tell somebody else. That is confidentiality. See? Like that. So when it says the most confidential knowledge, it indicates that Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood by somebody who doesn't want to become a devotee of Krishna. Because after all, in some stage of our life while we're sitting here, you are not chanting Hare Krishna. You are not reading Bhagavad Gita. But when you came into contact with a devotee, he is telling you this knowledge so that you can become a devotee. So when others see that you have changed positively by Krishna conscious practices, then they'll ask you, how is this? How has this happened? So you can say confidentially how it happened. And then they become contaminated by Krishna consciousness also. Good contamination. So confidential indicates it is contagious by its own nature. Just as gossip is contagious by its own nature. You know, village talk, gramakatha, you know, gossip is contagious by its own nature. So this confidentiality is there because it enters the heart of the person. It enters the heart of the person. So nobody is exempt. Nobody is exempt from not giving this knowledge to others. Nobody is exempt from not giving knowledge to others. And the reason, the main reason why it is Guhyatamam, it is confidential, it is not from your side. From your side it is called an open secret. In material terms, a secret is never open. But from your side it's an open secret. But from the perspective of the person who's receiving this knowledge, they may not be able to penetrate what you are saying or delivering to them. Therefore, it is confidential. Yes. From the perspective of the person who's receiving this knowledge from you, because they cannot enter into its in its devotional aspect, therefore it is kept confidential between the knowledge itself and you, and the knowledge is not getting through to the other person. See? So therefore Srila Prabhupada used to say that Bhagavad Gita cannot be cracked. Cannot be cracked, cannot be understood by mental speculators and armchair philosophers. It cannot be understood by scholars who even have PhD in philosophy. It cannot be understood. It can only be cracked open in its full glory by devotion. By devotion. So therefore, from the perspective of those who are not illegible by the mental speculation, by the erudite scholarship, by the envious nature, their very disqualification makes it confidential and not open to them. Like that. So therefore it is Guhyatma. This knowledge cannot be spoilt or cannot be changed or cannot be adulterated by these people, by the impersonalists, by the erudite scholars, by the mental speculators, by the philosophical speculators. It cannot be spoilt. It remains pavitrava. It remains or completely pure. So therefore it is confidential. Now, purity of this knowledge can only enter into a consciousness that is a beggar. We cannot command or we cannot demand at the essential teachings of Bhagavad Gita. We cannot command or demand this. Even if you know the Sanskrit verses from back to front, front to back, up and down, sideways, it will not be possible. You cannot demand or command what the Bhagavad Gita means to us. It comes by its own mercy. It descends by its own mercy into the consciousness of that recipient who only has one qualification. And therefore it is confidential to that person who has only one qualification. He's a sincere beggar. Not just a beggar, because beggars also are demanding. He's a sincere beggar. Sincere beggar for the mercy of the person who's offering Bhagavad Gita. And ultimately that's the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So the sincerity has to be there. And what is sincerity? Sincerity means no ill motivation. No political situation in the consciousness. No enviousness. Not that I understand this, but I'm just checking whether you understand it better than me. That is jnani. like that, just for the sake of knowledge, like that. Or a yogi, I want to learn about Bhagavad Gita so that I can become the greatest yogi. Or a tapasvi, Bhagavad Gita must show me how to become renounced. Or a vairagi, Bhagavad Gita must show me how to become detached from my attachments. Or a karmi, Bhagavad Gita can show me how I can enjoy in this material world. So anybody who approaches Bhagavad Gita for yogic mysticism, power, approaches Bhagavad Gita for renunciation, approaches Bhagavad Gita for detachment, or for austerities, or for any other motivations. And these motivations, somebody may ask, but for detachment, that is not bad, but it's a motivation. We simply have to accept Bhagavad Gita to receive the mercy of the person who is giving us and the mercy of the Supreme Lord to come to Krishna in terms of consciousness of Krishna, which is called bhakti or devotional service. Consciousness of Krishna is devotional service. So it's an open secret for you. You can propagate this to anyone, but someone who is a taker should be a sincere beggar, and therefore they will understand its confidentiality. Is that all right? Okay. Other questions or comments anyone has?
Okay.
Okay. So Krishna Chandra Prabhu wants to know more about what is a sincere beggar. How many more minutes do I have?
45
minutes more for the talk.
No, for the greetings.
No, for the talk.
20.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. He's merciful. I have to beg, you know. Okay. So, sincerity means that you're coming as you are with all one's faults, with all one's sins, and so forth. But you're coming as you are with all one's disqualifications as a beggar. That's a beggar. Like that. The sincere part indicates I am not better than you. I am not coming because I already know, but I still want to know what you know. So sincerity means that you're coming that you do not know. You want to receive like that. See? You do not want to achieve. Big difference. When one comes as a receiver and not as an achiever, that is called sincerity. Like that. So we should be a recipient of mercy. And when you are a recipient of mercy, you do not have to give mercy. It automatically forms in the consciousness, in the heart, which is called compassion. And through compassion, not that you're giving mercy, through compassion is that if I do not offer Krishna consciousness to others, I myself will not be a recipient of Krishna consciousness. So we're offering Krishna consciousness to always be receiving Krishna consciousness. That is sincerity also, in that sense, like that. So these are simple definitions in terms of some limited realization about sincerity in Krishna consciousness, like that, with no motivations at all, like that. Sometimes, on a practical level, Somebody may come to Krishna consciousness with some motivation. But when they come with some motivation, say for example, you come to Krishna consciousness to get a good husband, or to get a cultured wife, or you come to Krishna consciousness to get some money, or you come to Krishna consciousness because you are depressed. You want to feel happy, not depressed. So you're coming with the motivation to feel happy from your depressed or stressed situation. Okay. So when you come with some motivations like that to Krishna consciousness, but you do not know that coming with motivation is not correct, you are still sincere. You are still sincere. If you were not depressed, you wouldn't have came for happiness. See? If you were not hankering for a husband, you wouldn't have came. If you're not hankering for a wife, you wouldn't have came. So some motivation is there within human life, human social security values, that made you come to Krishna consciousness. And Bhagavad Gita broadly categorizes them into four: Artha, Artati, Jignaso, and Jnani. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive. Inquisitive means, let me test this thing out and see if it works. And Jnani means, they seem to know more than I do. Let me find out how much more they know that I don't know. So you come like that. But I gave it in practicality that, you know, different examples like that. Like one person, he genuinely came to Krishna consciousness so that he can be blessed to win the lotto. You have lotto here? Big time lotto. Okay. But he genuinely came with that motivation. And when the devotee asked him, why have you come to Krishna consciousness? Well, I came because I can be blessed with some lucky numbers to win the lotto. He was sincere. Like that. But your sincerity is transformed. It is transformed. So that type of sincerity is also accepted in Krishna consciousness. That type of sincerity is also accepted in Krishna consciousness. In other words, you're coming with some motivation, not knowing that that is not correct. So therefore you are sincere in your motivation coming to Krishna consciousness. And when you come to Krishna consciousness, then you realize, oh, you know, why did I come with that desire? There's much more valuable things here and jewels, you know, than just winning the lotto, you know. You know, like that. So, in other words, your sincerity is there, at the same time it becomes properly situated in terms of actual Krishna consciousness. Like that. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is such a powerful process that even if you come with some desire unknowingly that you're not supposed to, still you'll be accepted as a sincere seeker and a sincere beggar and a sincere soul. So I thought I'll add to that. Otherwise people will feel, oh, but I'm not free of material desires, therefore I cannot get this Krishna. No, you can come. So therefore, Bhagavatam says, akama sarva kama va. Akama means that you're free from all material desires. And sarva kama va means your material desires are increasing by the moment. You cannot stop it from increasing. It's like everything you do in the material world, it's increasing your material desire. Sarva kamova. Even if you're in that situation, you can still be sincere. Akama sarva kamava. Or even if you're moksha kama. Moksha kama means I am suffering in this world. When will I become free? Moksha or liberated. Even if you have the desire to become free or liberated, moksha kamava. Tivrena bhakti yogyana. Tivrena. By one's own voluntary force, you will come to Krishna. Tivrena bhakti yogyana. You will come to engage in devotional service. Bhakti yogyana. Yajeta purusham param. You're coming to the Supreme, who is the purusham. Param, Krishna himself. So in whatever state one is in, come as you are. And that little glimpse of sincerity unknown to you, although it may be covered by some motivation, which is also not known to you, that it is a motivation. Come as you are. And Krishna will fulfill your desires in such a way that you will not desire that again. And then you are properly situated in your sincerity in full Krishna consciousness. Just simply for a devotional service. Like that. So come as you are. In that sense. So that's some expanded form of the word sincerity. I'll give you one practical example. One nice young man, like that, he joined Krishna consciousness for the sole reason of getting a cultured wife. So he didn't tell anybody his desire. So he joined, he shaved his head, and so forth like that, and he became a brahmachari, under brahmachari training, like that. So now he's thinking, this brahmachari training is making me a man of character, but I have this like desire in me to get a cultured wife, so at the same time I cannot associate with the woman closely because brahmacharya. Like that. So he has that in his consciousness. So it was a big conflict internally in him. Big conflict internally in him. And he saw that, you know, the girls are very nice girls, you know, they are dedicated in serving and so forth. Of course they will be dedicated in serving, because by the dedication in serving and chastity, they will attract the boys. It is like that. See? So, I happened to be passing that area, and he didn't want to admit his internal conflict to the local and his service and spiritual authorities. So he thought, if he talks to me, and I'll be passing through, you know, like that. So he admitted his conflict to me. So then I said, you should get married, and then you'll understand this desire. When I said that, I didn't mean it, but I instigated his thought process. So he said, you mean I should get married and then I will understand this desire? What do you mean by the second part? What do you mean by the second part? Like that. So the second part means that you will understand that now your wife is a property of Krishna. She's not going to be yours. So what? So then he used his intelligence a little bit, and he said, I wasn't a sannyasi then. So he said, so Prabhu, you mean I'm only a caretaker of this lady on behalf of Krishna? I'm taking care of her? I said, yes, caretaker, taking care. Like that. I said, that's what it means. Like that. I said, that is pure Krishna consciousness. Like that. Then he said, what if we want to have a child? I said, then you have to take care more. Krishna is sending you another soul from this material world to take back to Godhead. Like that. So he thought for a while and he said, I am not ready for that responsibility. Then I said, your desire is not for responsibility. Your desire to have a wife is to enjoy. Like that. He said, you are right. I said, Krishna will trick you and give you a wife to take care of, not to enjoy. This is Krishna. This is Krishna. Then he said, you mean I cannot stay brahmachari now? I said, no. You have to go through. You have to come through this pure motivation by fulfilling your desire, getting purified of it, and take care of Krishna's property. And Krishna's property is your wife and children. That's the meaning of this verse. Pitaham asya jagata. That I am the father and mother. Like that. And Prabhupada is saying in the purport that your father and mother should remind you of Krishna. Your husband should remind you of Krishna. Your wife should remind you of Krishna. Your children should remind you of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. Like that. And when I visited again, he was married. And he said, you are right. You are right. He said, had I not told him that, he would have left Krishna consciousness with her and became a sense enjoyer. Not grihastha, but grihamedi. Like that. So in other words, we are not to give up our attachments. We are not to give up our influence. We are not to give up our education. We are not to give up our whatever you have. All we have to do is do it for Krishna. And whoever you're doing it with and associating with in terms of familial life, they should remind you of Krishna. So this is how the sincerity can be transformed, by giving the practical example of this young man who came to Krishna consciousness. I believe we have to go to the next part of the program, no? All right. So now we'll go into the second feature of the program by calling upon the graduates and presenting them the certificates and honoring them for their labor of love and sacrifice and deep study of Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada did say something to the effect, this is, everyone should hear this clearly. Srila Prabhupada said, distributing my books will keep them happy, but studying my books will keep them. So I'll repeat, distributing my books will keep them happy, but studying my books will keep them. They'll be maintained in Krishna consciousness.